Alrighty, we are set and ready to roll. Welcome to the Media Bids Power Hour. We are delighted to have all of you joining us that are advertising, media, newspaper, publication, magazine professionals. That is the spirit of all of those who have registered. We are delighted that all of you are here. This is a program that we've been putting on since 1995, every single month since then, our 196th educational program. We know how valuable your time is, and that means that we've done a lot of work prior to this program here today to ensure that we have the most content, the most helpful tools, trends, and resources that will help you win. And by definition, just by the fact that you registered and by the fact that you reserved this window of time to be here means that you are a winner, and that means that you will outrun, outgun, outsell, and outproduce your direct competitors. A couple of words about how to maximize your time here. We believe in the coach approach rather than the trainer approach, which means we're not going to put 226 bullet points up on your screen and have you multitask for the next hour. What do we know in all of our research and all the best in research about adult education? It's the same stuff we learned when we were a kid. The more notes you take, the more you learn. We want to transfer the knowledge. We want to infuse the knowledge. So we encourage you to find a quiet space. Turn off your technology. Close your office door. Whatever it takes to be able to listen really, really closely to the things that we're going to be sharing with you today. And as always, any specific questions you have during the course of the program, you can send an email to ernest@powerhour.com or simply hit reply and send those over to us. Jed, we have about 36 pages of questions that came in advance. So I know you're going to work and weave those in, and I know we're going to be talking about the future of print advertising, but how about some opening words about media bids and what brings us here together, going all the way back to 2006 when you and I first got started on these?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank Ernest. He really has an enormous amount of knowledge and great ideas about how to make print succeed, even in a difficult climate. I always learn a lot from listening to him. You know, this teleseminar is a little bit different in that you know, a lot of these topics are sort of things that I wanted to talk about, but he will, I'm sure, rein me in and ask me questions that you all are thinking. MediaBids is an online marketplace. We are trying to sell print differently. We're trying to come up with different ways of monetizing print publications, and we have found over and over again that print works. It works very well. It's just, you know, it's some of the things I'm going to share with you today are some of the things that we've found work well. But more than that, it's to try to get you thinking of ways that you can apply some of those things in your own specific publication. We've been around since 1999. We've experimented with almost everything, but primarily what we are is a place for newspapers to sell ads, newspapers and magazines to sell ads, advertisers to buy ads, and we also do a per response component as well, where we pay publications based on the response that they generate. That's where a lot of the data that I'll be talking about today sort of comes from. But we do sell, you know, our primary business is selling traditional ads. We just do it through an online format, not unlike a lot of the marketplaces which have become sort of commonplace today, like Travelocity or Expedia. We're just selling space. So if you'd like to learn more about that, if you'd like to, register with MediaBids, there's no cost. If you'd like to just tell me why you think some of the stuff we bring up in today's teleseminar is wrong, we're always, I'm always available and always looking for feedback. So we'd love to hear from you.
Wonderful. And I promise all of you that it reminds me, I'm going to date myself, but, you know, the commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Okay? And so, Jed, I just want to say the words, whenever I come. And you've prepared, you know, presentation information and industry information. I intensely look forward to it. So for all of you, buckle up and settle in because we've got a lot of ground to cover. Just in the way of introductions, Jed, thank you. It's been an absolute joy working together with you and your team. Your team is just fantastic, always polite, always responsive, and always just rocking. And I just can't say enough about that. And so all of you know that Jed and I have been working together This is our 63rd program together. We've never met until 2 weeks ago. Jed was so kind and wonderful to drive more than a minute from his corporate offices to where I was in New York, and we watched some fabulous tennis. More than anything, we had a great time together. And Jed, I was just so appreciative because I think there was like 12 hours of driving for like 2 hours together or something like that. I don't know. You're amazing. But it was a pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed. And so all of you know, Power Hour is my company. 25 years ago, I ran publications just like you. I've started, I've fixed them, I've bought them, I've sold them. I went to work for a billion-dollar publishing group, and then 18 years ago, I began Power Hour. Today, we work with hundreds of publications all over the world by phone, by conference call, by email, and we help you win. We want to talk about sales strategies, marketing strategies, e-newsletters. How about website SEO? How about LinkedIn? We've got entire programs about LinkedIn. Stop in your tracks if you are not utilizing LinkedIn to drive revenue. I didn't say Facebook, by the way. That's the 8 to 88ers. I'm talking about LinkedIn. We have amassed almost 50,000 leaders and members on LinkedIn within our groups. We drink our Kool-Aid. We do expert training on LinkedIn. You positively need to participate in LinkedIn. You need to post in LinkedIn, but even more importantly, you need to own and control and moderate your own groups. My footprint, I'm still thinking in my publication world, 50,000 a day, do the math. 1.5 million is my monthly CIRC. What does it cost me for that? Zero. Literally zero. So you need to pay attention to LinkedIn, and across 1.4 million groups, we're one of the top 240. We are proud of that. But what we want you to know is that there are specific selling and marketing and revenue strategies that you need to know. So let's get rolling. We are going to be talking about today the future of print advertising. We have three key points. We have 36 pages of questions. We have a partridge in a pear tree, baby. You know what I'm talking about. Point number one, why are advertising revenues down? What does selling opportunities versus selling risk actually mean? Let's get rolling, Jed.
All right. Well, first, I think it's important to kind of preface this by saying that, and I can speak for Ernest in this as well, in that we love print publications.
You bet.
Right? I consider print publications to be enormously important, right? Not just because I am personally a fan, but just enormously important for the health of the country. I mean, because most of the local content, most of the original content is generated by people like you, people who are paying to generate content that no one else is paying for. You know, the internet would look a lot different and would not be nearly as interesting had it not been for local publications, right, who are producing that content. So it's a little bit like telling your kid, you know, I love you, but you messed up, right? You know, because I don't want it to come through over the next period of time that we're talking about this stuff that there's not a great deal of admiration and respect that goes into what goes on, you know, out there every day. And what print publications are producing.
Yeah. And if I can just insert as well, this is Ernest, and look at the acquisition just made by, you know, Warren Buffett, you know, picking up community and regional papers. And when you hear, you know, the things that Jed's going to share, print is alive and rocking. The key piece is, what part of the pie are you getting? What part of the pie is your competitor getting? Okay? And while the web piece is an important part of it, it's a bundle. Where's your print component? Where's your e-newsletter? Where's your search engine optimization? Where's your website? You have to weave all of that together because you cannot stand as a print product all by itself. That will not be enough. But quite honestly, what's happening in print is still driving significant value and results. But you have to start by believing it, and then you have to have your sales and marketing strategies in place to help you and your team win. Okay? So, Jed, back to you on that.
Okay, so let's just go over some numbers just so we sort of see the scope of the issue we're talking about. In 2005, print revenue was overall in the U.S. was $47 billion. Print online revenue in 2005, that's the revenue generated by the online properties of print publications, was $2 billion. So a grand total of $49 billion. In 2011, print revenue was $20 billion, down $27 billion. Print's online revenue was $3 billion. So online is up by $1 billion. Print is down by $27 billion. So there's a serious problem out there, and obviously, you know, the marketplace is speaking to some extent. Meanwhile, online ad spending is growing. Search was up 27% in 2011. Banners were up 19%. Search revenue alone is projected to hit about almost $14 billion this year. And really, the issue is why? Because it's clear that there's a migration of ad dollars away from print, away from traditional media. You know, the same is true to some extent, maybe not quite as dramatically in radio and television, but clearly there's a migration which is occurring towards these online opportunities. And the question that we're asking is why? And, you know, I have theories, and I have what I consider to be partial remedies. But really, you know, I'm not sure that there's any one answer. So this whole teleseminar really should cause you, hopefully will cause you to sort of sit back and think and say to yourself, you know, I agree with that. I don't agree with this. And this is how, you know, you can fix, you know, this is how you intend to fix it in your own publication.
And if I can just step in, you know, in the words, if it's to be, it's up to me. Okay. Just to clarify, you know, that sales success and selling success is what we make it and how we internalize it and how we convey it and how significant or serious we are about moving and taking action going forward. Because if we sort of pause and say, well, if this is what's happening to the world around me in my sector, therefore woe is me, quite honestly, you're not going to make the strides. The only work that Jed and I do are those teams and those organizations to say, you know what, I don't care what's going on around me. It might be rainy, but here's my rainbow. Here's how I roll inside of that. And this, it starts with a state of mind. Again, there's lots of data and facts we're going to share with you, but you have got to make a stand. And for those of you who are the owners, the presidents, the CEOs of your organizations in this print and publishing space, your leadership is key. If there was ever a time to be out in front, walking and talking with your team, walking and talking with your largest advertisers, out helping with renewals, out assisting with the largest prospects, this is that time. This is that time, and I want all of you to know that we drink our own Kool-Aid here at Power Hour. We've had this wonderful project come across the bow, a company that's needed help working on a national level, and I looked eyeball to eyeball with that client and said, we'll do it. We believe there's at least a $3 to $5 million upside, and we'll show you how to do it, and we will do it directly and help you, literally right down from the media kit, right down to the sales presentations, to the proposals, to the closing. That's our belief. So we don't just talk about ad sales and success, but we get out and do it on a very select basis where our clients need a significant amount of help. Okay? So state of mind is key. Jed, please back to you.
Okay. So my basic thesis is that one of the reasons why there's been this migration of advertisers is not what those advertisers are saying is not that print doesn't work. It's not that print isn't a viable medium. What they're saying is it's just a lot safer to advertise other places. It's a lot easier. It's a lot safer, and it ends up being a lot more profitable. And the reason for that is how these mediums are selling. So let's just spend a quick overview, a quick minute, kind of reviewing how those mediums are being sold. And many of you know this, right? But it's worth kind of restating. You know, Google, Yahoo, Bing, Groupon, you know, mobile search, mobile banners, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, the last two there are just still sort of getting their act together, but you know, it's coming. All of these properties, which are just sucking ad dollars, right, are not selling space. They're not selling what publications are selling. They are selling response. They're selling an action. They're selling a click. They're selling something that the consumer is doing. There's a few examples to the contrary, but by and large, that's where the advertising dollars go. And when you think about what that means to the advertiser, you can really sort of see the stark difference between what you're saying to an advertiser and what an advertiser is getting from some of these other online opportunities. An advertiser who is buying Google is only paying when someone clicks, right? They're only paying when that action that they've defined as a payable event occurs, which gives them an enormous degree of confidence. How bad could it be, right? If I'm paying, to make up a number, $5 every time someone goes to my website, how bad could it be? I'm going to spend $500 this week. I'm going to get 100 people who click on it, and I got to be able to make some sale out of that, right? The truth is that pay-per-click advertising is the same as every other kind of advertising in that some of it works extraordinarily well and some of it doesn't. But in terms of the actual sales approach, in terms of why people are buying it, they're buying it because they're getting that assurance. They're buying something which is tangible, which is measurable, and so they feel like they're getting something in return for what it is they're spending their money on. Now juxtapose that with print. With print, traditionally, newspapers and magazines have gone out and they've asked people to buy space, buy real estate in the magazine, in the hopes that someone will see it and respond. Not unlike search advertising, the idea is that if you put the ad in front of a relevant audience, people are going to want it. What newspapers and magazines do differently, however, though, is that's traditionally been where it ends, right? They will take it that far, they will sell the space, and then everything which occurs after that sale is up to the advertiser. Online, that doesn't occur, right? In fact, that's just the beginning, right? Because now these online companies have this data. They know who's clicking. They know how many clicks you got, and they charge you as a result of those clicks. They then can upsell you. And then they can make recommendations about other keywords or other opportunities that the advertiser may want to take advantage of. They can do so much more because they have the data. With publications, traditionally they have nothing, right? All they have is the check that they got for the first ad, or the second, or the contract, or whatever it may be, and that's where it ends. And that's an enormous mistake, right? That is, I believe, a mistake which is more than anything the root cause of this enormous advertising revenue drain, which is occurring across the whole industry, is how these advertisers view the risk of buying print, because we as an industry are not doing anything to mitigate that risk. All we're doing is saying, if you don't wanna, if it didn't work, think about what you say to a traditional advertiser. If an ad didn't work, typically the response is you should buy more, or you should buy more frequency, or you should change the creative. Right? It's never the publication's fault, ever. It seems like more often than not, it's what can the advertiser do differently. These other mediums aren't like that, right? These other mediums step up to the plate more and sort of work in partnership with the advertiser to get those results, because they don't get paid if they don't get the results. So that's the fundamental difference, and that's sort of the main difference between selling space versus selling risk.
And if I can just insert, let's just go to the other side. Jed, we have a large search engine optimization team, and search engine marketing pay-per-click side. So we interact on that side, and we help our print publications deploy their search engine optimization. And in some cases, you know, we might have in a you know, given month, $5,000 or $10,000 or $25,000 or $50,000 that we're doing on the pay-per-click side. But even in the smallest sense, you know, we might be going after a select set of words, and we might have doing a pay-per-click for 350 words. But we can go in and tailor the words. We can go shape the approach. We can set the timing. There's a lot of communication and coordination behind the scenes. Do you follow me on that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of choices and options and paths, much to what you're talking about. And I think it's important that we recognize, you know, that these options and choices are where those advertising dollars are going. Remember what Jed said. You know, how did print go backward $27 billion and online only went up $1 billion? I mean, you know, where are all these dollars being moved around? Jed, back to you.
Yeah, I mean, so just to kind of, you know, recap that, I mean, you know, that's going to be a theme for the rest of, you know, the rest of our time is that you know, is the difference between how these, you know, how these properties are being sold. And again, I believe, and you know, I've seen in my own business the difference between selling space versus selling opportunity. You know, as I mentioned earlier in our little preface, and I think this is sort of an appropriate time to kind of mention it, is that MediaBids essentially has two sides of its business. We have a traditional ad sales side where we're helping marry advertisers with publications, and we are buying, you know, and we're helping in that sale, helping essentially find advertisers for space which is available, made available to us from publications, and selling it for the price that's dictated by the publication. Could be rate card, it could be discounted, it doesn't really matter. We're trying to match advertisers with publications. On the other side, we've started sort of a portion of our business over the last 7 years, which is a response-based advertising side. And the reason why we started this was that we saw a lot of our traditional customers, customers that were big print spenders, beginning to reduce their budgets pretty dramatically. And we started talking to them, and we started finding out why, and we started asking them what the reason was, and all of them basically gave some explanation similar to what I just gave you, which is why should we risk $10,000 or $2,000 or $200,000 on print when we know what we're going to get from this other stuff. And in order for us to find out what we're getting for print requires a lot of work. And frankly, it's work that we don't want to do. So it's easier for us, it's safer for us, and it's more measurable and more predictable for us to just move these dollars online and be able to maximize, to measure our, you know, measure the response. And also just manage the whole program. You know, no one has ever said to us the customers we get from print are inferior to the customers we get from other mediums. In fact, the opposite is true. You know, almost to an advertiser, and we deal with about 15,000 advertisers. Our advertisers believe that print advertisers tend to be better qualified, better buyers, better consumers than they get from, if not every other medium, then certainly than online. So we started this per inquiry portion of our business where we took a group of advertisers and we began offering it to publications on a per response basis. Some of you on this call may run some of our per response ads. And what we found was that the response that they got was in many, many publications very good. The response they got in others, you know, wasn't. But but proportionally, the majority of our publications, about 70%, generated rates that were equal to or not too far below their rate card value. This was a revelation to a lot of publications because publications had never really measured how their advertisers were doing. And as a result, we were able to bring some of these ad dollars which had migrated from print onto online back into print by essentially copying the some of the payment tools that are used online, basically assuming the risk, or in partnership with the publications assuming the risk, because what we're saying to the advertiser is you're going to get an ad, but you're going to have, you know, but you don't have to pay for the space, but you have to pay for response. Because we have enough confidence in the medium to believe that the response that you're going to get is going to ultimately justify the space which is being devoted to it.
Jed, let me just pause here. I think what you're also saying is, so there have been those that have said, gee, I'm not going to buy the print ad at that rate card, but I'll pay for performance. And the fact is that the performance, by the time they got done, they were actually paying the rate card, or in some cases even more than the rate card.
Absolutely. I mean, it happens.
Right?
It
That's
happens
what you're
every.
Saying. That's the crux of this, isn't
right.
it?
Right. I mean, it happens every week, and it blows you away, right? Because I have an example one example in particular of a magazine in California that generates probably three times the rate of their rate card than in response than they could get from the rate card. So they generate somewhere around $50,000 every month from one advertiser, and that same space sells for about $12,000. Now, it's great for the publication. It's, you know, theoretically it's bad for the advertiser, right? Because they're paying a lot more for that response than they would have to. But the advertisers love it because there's no risk involved, right? They don't have to pay for something they don't know what they're getting in return. And when that advertiser goes into their marketing meetings and says, here's what we're spending and here's what we got, they're able to sort of hang a number on it, right, and say, this is specifically what we're getting, this is specifically why this money is worth it, and they can walk out feeling good about it. It's the same sort of mentality that you see go on with Google and Yahoo. It's advertisers who can look at a number, who can look at a spreadsheet and say, this is what I spent, this is what I got. And whether or not we like it and whether or not it's right, that's how advertisers increasingly think. I mean, I think that's an important message to take away from this, is that even advertisers with experience in print, once that genie was let out of the bottle and once they got it through their heads that they shouldn't have to pay for anything but a response or an action from an advertiser, once that got through, buying space became very, very difficult. You know, the difference between, once you've had a few good hamburgers, McDonald's doesn't taste as good. You know, once they got a taste of that, right, it was over. And I think that the fact that more and more businesses, more and more local businesses, small businesses, regional businesses that 5-10 years ago had not traditionally used online search or anything online have become so much more comfortable with it. I think that has a large that's a large contributor to the advertising migration that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, and if we could just for a second, a couple of key points related to point number one before we shift into point number two here. Okay, you heard Jed say the genie's out of the bottle. It positively is. He's also talking about thinking about your strategy. Are you actually selling that full page for X, or is it Y, where they pay a portion plus response, or is it Z, where it's all response, and in fact, wink, wink, the advertiser's actually paying even more. So there's some real specific strategies here. The other part to recognize, and this is, Jed, as you know, because of all the work we do at publications and then with the SEO side and the SEM, let's all agree, or at least know as a result of our meeting here today, that what Google is doing right now, last year they called it Google Local. These are the push pins. Then it moved to Google Places. Now it's shifting to Google Plus. Remember, 18 months ago, push pins didn't even exist. There was a little teeny map on the right-hand side out where the pay-per-click was. It is absolutely categorically the fact that they have put those push pins in so they can go eat the local market biz. So if I type in flowers in Dallas, I'm going to get a 7-pack of local. Then I'm going to get, I'm going to get 3 paid at the top, then 7, and then 10 organic searches. Okay? So recognize that, you know, the online side and the website is now eating all the way down to the microscopic level because they want to positively eat the heart out of every advertising dollar, including at this moment in time, whatever $1.9 trillion that goes out across directories and Yellow Pages. We know that I don't think in the next 3 years or 4 years that that may be there. Every market's a little different, but I think we know that that is rapidly shifting because you pull everything now off your mobile, which includes those push pins. So just recognize that what we're trying to suggest to you is to expand your thinking, shift your thinking a little bit in the way that you're working with advertisers, and listen to Jed's stories about, you know, hey, listen, yeah, they didn't want to pay for the ad. Now they pay even more because they're paying for the performance side of the house. Jed, anything else to summarize in point one before we shift to two?
No, I think you brought up a good point. I mean, we talked about the, you know, $20 billion in sales in 2011 in print, mm-hmm. and, you know, There's guys in Google and Yahoo right now who are thinking about ways of getting that. You know, they're coming for it. So it's not a, you know, we haven't hit the bottom, you know, unless we make some changes.
So let's talk about point number two. So what other advertising mediums are offering? What other advertising mediums or offerings are doing well that publications, magazines, and newspapers are not? Let's talk about what's working out there versus what's not.
Okay, the number one thing, and this is perhaps the most critical thing. We've talked about this in other teleseminars, but we got to talk about it. Is tracking. There is no place in this day and age for an ad to run where the publication does not understand how it is performing. It is absolutely critical for publications to understand how the ads that are appearing in their, you know, in their print edition, online edition, newsletters, everything, how they are performing. Because everything is built around those numbers. If you don't have those numbers, you're at an enormous disadvantage. And I really encourage you to implement tracking devices whenever possible. We've done whole teleseminars on this, but, you know, just to recap really briefly, you know, the tried and true sort of blue chip way for publications to track response is through 800 numbers that they put in the ads. These are cheap, they're extremely easy to implement, they are, and they're very, very helpful in terms of creating data and understanding what the response to an advertiser's ad really is. Once you have this data, it opens up a whole new world, right? It really changes the equation because what it allows you to do is to talk to an advertiser specifically about what they got, right, and what they're getting for the money that you're spending. So implementing a tracking mechanism is important. Some other ones which are not as effective in print but can work very well are unique URLs, putting a unique URL into an ad. Again, that's a trackable thing where you're able to use, you know, whether it's Google Analytics or whether it's, you know, another method, you're able to see how many people are actually visiting that website. QR codes, which have become popular in some areas and have become more and more understood by the average consumer, again, you know, are another good way of tracking. You lose some people on them because not everyone kind of gets them, but there's certainly a group of people out there who appear to want to try a QR code when they see them. More and more smartphones have the software installed upon purchase, so it's no longer, you know, the adoption rate is pretty quick. And more people have smartphones. So QR codes are becoming more and more of a viable way of actually tracking response. Another method is text message response, where text messages perform very similarly to 800 numbers. So you can track the data that's generated from a text message Obviously, you know, not all of these components would work for every advertiser. You know, you have to kind of, you know, pick and choose. But I would encourage you, and I know, you know, Ernest sort of feels the same way, that every, you know, to the extent you can, every ad that goes out, you should have a way of determining whether or not it's working. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, Jed, would you give the group a perspective of how many calls you have tracked over the last, and I know you probably don't have this at your fingertips, but give them just a little pulse of the number of ads and the number of phone calls you track on an annual basis.
We do. We track on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
We track usually between 12 and 15,000 ads.
Mm-hmm.
We generate in the neighborhood of 2.5 million phone calls a year. This year we might hit, you know, we might go as high as 4 million. Not all those are good calls, right? You know, some of them are bad. Some of them are people who are, you know, not qualified customers. But
yep.
But those are, you know, but we're able to see, you know, see the data that's produced. We're tracking these ads in, you know, in a variety, you know, these are ads in all shapes and sizes, right? These are anything from a classified ad to a full page ad. These are ads that are being put out there by, you know, by some big national companies and by some, you know, smaller regional companies. We don't have that many local companies that we do this with.
And I appreciate you sharing that, Jed, and I know you've shared those numbers in the past. What we want all of you to know is that Jed is not only talking about this, but he sees it, walks it, talks it. You heard earlier where they're out selling traditional ads, traditional rate card stuff, and then they're also working on the paper inquiry, and they're seeing both sides. There's a lot of, I don't know, five people on the planet, Jed, that can talk about the things you're talking about right here. And when all of you hear 12,000 to 15,000 ads out there, Jed not only drinks his Kool-Aid, but he says, and there's another 2.5 million calls that we're tracking on an annual basis. These are huge numbers. We have one client alone with 51,000 inbound calls that we're trending this year for $500 million of sales leads and activities. So what we measure is not only what improves, but you have to have that component in your advertising formula, period. And if you don't, you're going to feel like the tail of the dog, like you're never making forward progress. Jed?
Right. Yeah, I don't pretend to have thought of all of the cool ways of tracking response. You know, there's a lot of open areas and some very creative people out there who should be able to, you know, come up with even better ways of tracking response, depending on the type of business that you're dealing with, depending on the particular situation that you're in. You know, the Dallas Morning News, for example, has experimented with doing pay for response ads for real estate agents, where real estate agents are paying based on the results that they're based on house sales, essentially, you know, so they're paying a percentage of what they would generate from the sale of a house as the result of the advertising that they're doing with the Dallas Morning News. You know, the Tribune Company has also experimented with similar types of pay for response scenarios with car dealers, you know, where they're advertising, you know, a specific brand, a specific model, and, you know, and they get paid based on the number of sales, the number of test drives, or you know, something that's measurable. There's lots of ways of doing it. The bottom line is you as a publication need to be in the equation. You need to understand what the data is. Because by having that data, right, you're then able to turn around and make assumptions on it and sell to other people based on the data that you're generating. And that's exactly what Google's doing, you know. What I'm suggesting here is no different than what is currently working online. You know, you need to be able to see, okay, we get good response for a florist, right? If we get good response for a florist and the florist who was either paying for that response or paying for the ad is no longer willing to advertise in our publication, we can turn around and we can get another florist because we have consumers to deliver to that florist. It's not a matter of whether that florist wants to buy a quarter page or a half page or a full page, right? It's a matter of how many consumers you have that you can now deliver to that business. And that's ultimately puts you in the same on an even playing field with what Google and Yahoo are doing, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to deliver customers, and they have the metrics to be able to show an advertiser, if you pay this much, this is how many consumers you're going to get. You can do the same thing. You can do exactly the same thing. It's just taking the time to gather and then decipher the data.
So let's pause here, and we have some emails that have also come in from some of you that have said, as one of the incentives of our working together, I also tuck advertisers into my e-newsletter. I also include them in e-blasts. That's exactly the creativity that it takes along the way here, looking at all of the mediums that you're utilizing. Do you tie it into Facebook? Do you tie it into LinkedIn? Do you tie it into their e-newsletter? Are you tracking it every step of the way? How do you showcase them on the website? How do you do it in print? What do you do in editorial? How about an upcoming trade show? There's a whole menu of ways. We have to stop thinking, or we want to encourage you to be thinking that it's more than, you know, what are the specs on a full-page ad? Okay, we have to really be more inclusive, and we need to have a fuller marketing approach in order to help our advertisers win. And if we don't do it, somebody else positively will eat our lunch on this. So, Jed, is there anything else on point two that you want to summarize before we take a look at our third and final point here today?
We could probably talk about this for hours, but again, just real quickly. I mean, with the thousands of ads that we're placing and looking at and analyzing each week, this is not a lost cause. This is, you know, publications generate significant results, and when you get the right advertiser with the right publication, they generate excellent response. The trick is you've gotta have that data to know what you have. And once you have that data, you know, it changes how you will interact with advertisers.
Absolutely. And he or she with the most information wins. It's how we prepare. We've done entire programs on pre-meeting prep. We've done entire programs about what the ideal and best presentation is. We've done 60-minute programs here, how to bundle web, print, and newsletter. We've done entire calls on merchandising rate cards, just working on the newsletter, just working on the website, just working on the SEO. So there's 60-plus hours of programs that we've done going all the way back to 2006 that are there. They're available at the MediaBids website. You could literally take one a week, bring it into your sales meeting, take 15 minutes of it, and go pull out the nuggets that are in there. These are all about the strategies to help you win. When you have them in place, you're making forward progress. And if you don't, you're going to feel like you're drowning, or it's not going as well, or you've got competitors that, frankly, are doing better. You know, this is one of the few businesses I often will chuckle with my clients, Jed, no matter where they are around the world, and I say, you know, if we were in the Xerox copier business, Jed, I could go sell 500 copiers within 1 mile of where you're standing today. You would never know it. But in the publication world, if I go out and sell 500 pages and you only sold two, everybody knows it. You know, it's sort of like, didn't we finish up with report cards in high school and college? Why am I still getting a grade? Yep, every 30 days or every quarter or every week or each day, whatever your print frequency is, you get a report card, and so do your competitors.
Right.
Every way and every day. Let's talk about this third point, Jed, that we promised to cover here today. Again, thank you so much to those of you that are sending in questions. We're trying to work and weave them into the program here, but we'll also follow back up with you by email afterwards. So just a reply to the email that got you here, or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, and we'll tuck those in. Number three, what are the steps to engage your advertising clients and prospective clients? Why is it important to measure advertising results and own the data? What's the key piece there, Jed?
Okay, so I think to start off with, I just want to point out, you know, one of the things that drives, I'll use Google as an example, one of the things that drives Google's success or failure, one of the things that keeps their, you know, that either increases their search revenue or decreases their search revenue, is the economy in general. So when people are looking for stuff, when people are buying stuff, when people are interested and engaged in being consumers, they get a lot more clicks. When it's a downtime, they get a lot fewer clicks. One of the things that this points out is that Google is in partnership with the businesses that are using them. They succeed or fail in the same way that the businesses that are using them succeed and fail. If the businesses aren't getting response, Google doesn't make any money. If the businesses are doing great from a, you know, from a click perspective, Google does great. So that's an attitude which many publications do not have. So the steps to engaging your advertiser clients and prospective clients, I really feel that for publications to survive, they need to be partners. They need to succeed and fail with their advertisers in the same way that their advertisers are succeeding and failing with their marketing. So if the marketing is working, the publication should be getting paid more. If the marketing is not working, the publication should not be getting paid more. If the marketing is generating sales dollars for that client, then my guess is 9 times out of 10, they're willing to pay for it. How you slice that really doesn't matter. The way we've come up with slicing it at MediaBids is on a pay-per-call basis. But you might come up with other ways of sort of slicing that and of dealing with that fundamental issue of how do I get paid more from clients where the ad is working, and how do I incentivize advertisers who are not seeing results from their ad to do something different, right? And what can I do to try to cause that to happen? So that's a big shift for a lot of publications who traditionally have had the attitude of, you know, we're going to sell space and hope it works. You know, what I'm suggesting is that in order to succeed, you know, given what's gone on in the world in the last 5 or 10 years, you've really got to sort of step up your relationship with your customer, understand what's working, understand what you can do to make it work better, and in some cases where it just doesn't work, you know, not have them advertise anymore. Spend your time on advertisers who are seeing results, because that ultimately is going to be where most of your revenue is coming from. There's a few ways of doing this. You know, like I mentioned, we do per call. I know that can be a bad word for some publications. Other ways of doing it are asking an advertiser to guarantee a certain price, you know, to pay a certain price for the space, and then on top of that, pay something for calls. There's as many ways of doing it as there are advertisers out there. You got to come up with a way that works for the advertiser and works for you. But again, sort of keeping in mind that your primary reward should be when an advertiser succeeds.
And Jed, just related to this whole creative side, I mean, you know, not just thinking about the print. For example, what about putting on educational programs, much like we're doing here, on behalf of your advertisers out to your audience? Or take it a further step, what about putting on educational programs like we're doing here out to their direct audience and clients? I mean, all of these things are these creative ways to think outside the box, because let's be honest, the solutions today where advertisers are going didn't exist 5 and 10 years ago. But quite honestly, because we continue to beat the print drum, and let's go back, Jed, I don't know, to the earliest days of newspapers. I would interview a newspaper salesperson. You know what I would hear? Literally, hey, I wait all day for the phone call. And rates went up 12% last year. They right. literally sat in their office, took orders, had the most complex rate card I'd ever seen. That was one of the few mediums, right? I mean, you had TV, radio, newspaper. I'm dating myself here. And then you had magazines and yellow pages. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the biggest monopoly. So while we were kind of camped, you know, focused on our navel and how well we were doing, the world was eating all the way around. And you sort of think, hey, yeah, but we're the 900-pound elephant. Well, guess what? The ants will never touch us. Guess what? Get enough ants on there, then the ants will take down the elephant. You've got to be thinking like an ant. No matter how big or small you are, you have to be thinking out of the box and looking for a fuller package. But what you're also doing on the other side is you're outrunning and outgunning the competitors, your own advertising mediums and competitors, which means they're admiring and in envy of what it is you're deploying. For example, we have publications that part of their service for the advertisers is, here's your print, here's your e-newsletter, here's the educational web program, here's the website on us. Oh, and by the way, our team will SEO your advertisers or your clients. There's another component in-house there as well, so that there's another revenue stream that they're providing for and with their advertisers. So, again, the things that we're talking about today, you didn't need 3 years ago and 5 years and 7 years ago, but we can't keep having the ants bite at the ankles of the elephant, because they're winning, and they're going to keep winning unless we take a stand, each of us uniquely and individually take a stand and get way outside the box and realize that our printed page is just one part of the solution.
And it's critical not just for sort of the survival of print, like as we currently know it, right? But it's also critical for the transformation of how the medium is delivered, right? You know, because 20 years from now, 50 years from now, who knows? You know, people are not going to be reading print publications the way they are today, right? But that information will still be getting, you know, dispersed. If in order for publications to really make that transition, they've got to begin to thinking about response more and begin to integrating it into their pricing structures, because if you don't, then the leap to online is even that much more difficult. I mean, one of the staggering things about the numbers that we talked about earlier is that online, for all the effort and all of the talk and, you know, every trade association you go to, you know, the answer to the future is a really cool website. You know, all of that talk, and yet advertising revenues from online print properties has only gone up $1 billion, you know. That's nothing in comparison with the amount of effort and time that has gone into it, you know. And part of that reason is that I think that print publications don't know how to speak the language. They can't, you know, they can't go to a big online advertiser and sell the way that Google or Yahoo does, because they just don't have enough impressions. And they can't go to their print guys because no one wants to buy space on a website. So it's a matter of sort of transitioning your thinking, and that allows you to really sort of transition into other mediums, I think, much more fluidly.
Absolutely. And so we are hoping that you hear the words of hope, optimism, a game plan, strategies, next steps, and going forward. And we truly believe that leaders lead. Remember, Jed, the Lee Iacocca commercial, lead, follow, or get out of the way, right? I mean, you know, I remember Andy Grove at Intel talking about the top 10% of my company, I want 100% retention. The bottom 10%, I want 100% turnover. What was he saying? Leaders lead. Same thing. I want the best. We want all of you to know that you are the best. By definition, you're here. You invested this window to be here with us. And we hope that in this window of time that we've been able to share with you many strategies that we see are working and a whole different mindset. And when we were maybe 20 minutes into this meeting, Jed, and you're saying, you know, we sort of sit back and chuckle. So, you know, Company X didn't want to buy the full page at $8,000, and this month they got a bill for $12,000. You know, that's like eye-popping. And that's the sort of understanding of what tracking means and the choices and options of buying straight print versus pay for performance, and frankly, a little creativity that we want to suggest also that we need in our sector.
Right, right. It can change the way you deal with advertisers. You know, and I would encourage you, you know, to at least experiment with it. You know, maybe try an advertiser who has dropped out of your publication, who you don't think that there's any hope to get back. You know, talk to them about what type of response they're looking for, what type of response they need to justify the cost. you know, and see if you can work out a deal with them. See if you can come up with something to get them back in the publication, measure response, and justify to them the the amounts they're spending. Because I think you'll be surprised that in a lot of cases, the amount that you're able to generate is probably a lot more than your advertisers have ever indicated to you that they're actually generating. You cannot trust advertisers to tell you what they're generating from ads they're buying. They don't know. They may think they know. They may have some unscientific system that they have in place. It doesn't work. There's not a single advertiser I've ever spoken to that measures results based on phone calls or coupons or knowing their customers who can actually tell you what the response has been for an ad that they've purchased.
Absolutely. So let's pause right here. We realize we have covered an incredible amount of information. Jed, as always, I love your prep. I love your delivery. I love your insight. Jed, you always speak from the heart. You care about this sector. You care about publications and advertising sales teams and leaders. You understand what's happening on the advertising side, and you understand it from the advertiser side as well as those that are selling the ads. So as all of you are listening to Jed, I mean, listen, you are hearing the best of the best, and I really mean it, Jed, when I say there aren't five people on the planet that could be talking and walking and have the stats and the data like you do. It is unbelievably fantastic. I love your presentations, and you always just rock it, okay? And to all of you, we appreciate you being here. When you get a moment, do take a look at MediaBids and all the wonderful work that Jed and his team are doing. This is Ernest with Power Hour. We're going into our 18th year. It has been an incredible journey, and we're enjoying every single minute. And it's a pleasure working with so many of you. And if along the way our help or assistance in deploying the things that we're talking about might be beneficial, ping us a note and we'll find a window as well. Jed, I know we'll be back next month. As always, our topics are inspired by those who come to our program. So if there are topics that those of you would like to see over the next few months, ping us a note. Jed and I always work behind the scenes and plan our upcoming programs. Let us know what you'd like to hear, and we will positively keep you current with emerging trends, tools, techniques, resources, the very best that inspire us, the very best that we see out there we want to bring to you. And then, of course, encourage you to go back to MediaBids. There are 60-plus hours of programs, and we encourage you to go listen to those. They are as fresh and as important today as they were when we first produced them. So, Jed, anything else in closing before we wrap this up?
Thanks very much, Ernest. And I will go through some of your I'll try to answer your questions offline via email. I apologize we didn't get to too many of them.
There were about 38 pages of questions before, but many of those you wove in.
And we successfully did not answer any.
We did embed 567 responses. It's like, what are those little pictures in the paper that you have to kind of go, where do you find the parrot? Six times on this page. We embedded lots of it, but it probably left you with also additional questions. Just pop us a note, and we're very responsive, Jed and myself, and we see many, many questions that came in as well, and we'll respond back to those. So thank you to all of you. We'll see you next month. Make it a great day, and if it's to be, it's up to me. So thank you so much, Jed, and thank you to all of you, okay?
Thanks, everyone, for your time. Thanks, everyone.
All righty. Take care.